Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning. If you are visiting, please make yourself known to the minister or one of the stewards at the end of the service and sign our visitors' book. Welcome also to those who will be joining us later in the week by listening to the recording of the service. This morning, Pam Weston will be reading the lesson. I have just one notice. Following Steve Brain stepping down as Emmanuel's church secretary, the elders met this week to discuss the role of church secretary. It has been decided that until the first elders meeting after Emmanuel's AGM, the church secretary's tasks will be allocated across the eldership. So, if you have any issues you would normally take to the church secretary, please speak to your elder or any of the eldership. Thank you. And now, let us have a few moments for reflection as I light the Christ candle.
Good morning and welcome to our service today. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Most people will have marked this Sunday as the end of the Christmas season. We aren't. We are continuing it until next Sunday, where the service will be readings and hymns and carols for the new year. So you haven't finished the festive season yet. As you can see, the church is nearly just as decorated as it was for Christmas, and that is the reason. So come along next Sunday, enjoy a time together, and then stay on for the teas and coffees and sharing after the service. So make a point of it and pass the word around. It'll be good for the choir, for everybody who's taking part, to rejoice in this. And then I think, yes, we will enter into a sort of a normal rhythm of what follows. Our first hymn this morning is from Rejoice and Sing. We'll be using the two hymn books, as you can see from the notice board. This is Rejoice and Sing 135, and the hymn is Joy to the World. And during the singing of the hymn, I will be lighting the peace candle. Because though joy to the world is God's wish for us all, you know that there are many reasons in this world by which lighting the peace candle, we draw attention to this. Because the joy that we sing about and it's God's will for some people is still a hope that needs working on. So as we sing Joy to the World, I will be lighting the peace candle. Steve will now read a poem, especially a poem special about Epiphany.
This is The Journey of the Magi by T.S. Eliot. A cold coming we had of it. Just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a journey. The way is deep, and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, the silken girls bringing the sherbet. Then the camel men, cursing and grumbling and running away, wanting their liquor and women. And the night fires going out, and the lack of shelter. The city is hostile, the town's unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. Yes, a hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with voices singing in our ear saying, "This is all folly." And at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, three trees on a low sky. An old horse galloped away in the meadow. We came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information there, so we continued. And arriving at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, as you may say, satisfactory. All that was a long time ago, I remember. I would do it again, but set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or for death? There was a birth, certainly. We had the evidence and no doubt. I've seen birth and death. I thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us. Like death. Our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms. No longer at ease here, though, in the old dispensation, an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death.
Thank you very much, Steve. If you have any doubts or questions, wait until the end of the service, where it should all be made clearer. But T.S. Eliot is hard to follow. Let us pray. Dear God, your glory shines as far as the east is from the west, as far as the north is to the south, so that all people everywhere may see and be radiant, so that every heart may be excited, may rejoice. Loving God, guide us on our journey in Christ. Overwhelm us with the joy of your presence, that the world may be different day by day, closer and closer to your dream. God of justice, we confess that so many times our actions are not good. Sometimes there are even evil. Too many times humanity remains passive while others are oppressed. Whenever we guard our own prosperity at the expense of those who are poor, and when we ignore the cries of those who need help, forgive us, we pray, O Lord, for hiding in the darkness of this world more than loving the light of your righteousness made known to us in Jesus Christ. Confront us with your mercy, we pray, and extend your grace to us. Strengthen our faithfulness to you and to all who are precious in your sight. We pray in the name of Jesus, our light. And we learn through him that God is for us and not against us. We are reminded of the words in the Gospel that the Father sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Remind us of the good news of the Gospel. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we are set free to live a new life in him. So as your children, loved, healed, restored, forgiven, we may live together with your people everywhere the joy of the new light, the light of life. Amen. Our next hymn comes from Sing Praise. It's hymn 27. In our darkness light has shone, alleluia. Still today the light shines on, alleluia.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem. asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and the learned from them that the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for leading us in the reading. And the choir will now sing the New Year Carol as an anthem by Benjamin Britten.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. O God of wonder, as the ancient star rose and guided the Magi, shining the place where Jesus lay, so now may the light of your Holy Spirit shine in our hearts and minds. We have heard the word. Let us reflect on the word. Guide us again to Christ and direct us in new paths of faithfulness. In his name we pray. Amen. One of our members is on holiday in Spain at this moment, and they sent me an email on Friday saying, I've encountered the Feast of the Kings for the first time. But it wasn't my first time in Argentina following the Latin tradition. It's probably the bigger feast than Christmas is, at least for kids. We were the only kids in the neighborhood that got presents, new presents, on Christmas Day. The rest of the neighborhood got them if they left their shoes out and had been good boys and girls the night between the 5th and the 6th. And we had to leave a bowl of water for the camels and grass. Nothing like mince pies and beer for Santa or anything like this. So it was very strange. We had new toys on Christmas Day. They had new toys on the 6th of January. They felt left out in December. I felt left out in January. But this member of the church said the funny thing was that suddenly a helicopter landed. The three kings jumped into the helicopter and started blessing us all from above as they flew away to other lands. A new experience. An interesting one. In every little town, every little village in Argentina, the night of the 5th, the wise men, the magi, the three kings, call them whatever, come in procession and throw out sweets and toys for the kids. And in the seaside resort near where we lived, where I was minister as well, but many years before I got there, Celia's father, with his younger daughter, they went to see the wise men arriving. And Oscar had the little one on his shoulder, and of course she wanted the toys that were thrown out or the sweets. And this one of these wise men came up and said, "Hey, Oscar, is that your little one?" You can't imagine how Paula was impressed that one of the wise men knew her father's name. Really, it took her years to discover the truth of the matter, which I will not divulge now, just in case I break any of your own dreams. But she was really impressed. Those things stay in kids' minds forever. But last Friday was the Feast of the Epiphany. And that never was intended to be a theological word. Epiphany just means made visible, the manifestation, seeing something you've never seen before. The same way as angel meant a messenger. It was never dreamt to be white three pairs of wings. Anybody that brought good news to the king of a battle was an angel. The postman, if he brought the check you'd been expected, was an angel. Now you go up and call the postman or postlady an angel now, and they'd probably look at you really weird. But epiphany was that, just seeing what had not been seen before, becoming aware of things. But since this reading in Matthew, it seems reserved more to the religious world than to anything else. The Magi's encounter with the newborn baby Jesus, the Messiah. The reading of today shows us the tensions that are still around in the world today, causing so much hurt. The struggle of rulers to hold grip of their power. The widening of the boundaries that seem to challenge any form of mentality of exclusiveness. The reality that God's vision is far more extensive than ours will ever be. And how all this has a direct impact on the way each of us and the world around live. The Magi are the beginning and the end of the reading from this morning, and they are the outsiders. They come from outside the accepted boundaries. All we know is they come from the east, but they are not of the people. Of the people that thought they had the exclusive right of the Messiah. Later on in history, these boundaries will even widen more. Come Pentecost. And will widen even more when Paul travels far and wide in the world, even dreaming to get to Spain. I hadn't made the connection where one of our members is now, having seen the wise men. But it widens step by step as the New Testament develops, with the inclusion of the Gentiles. It's a wonderful story. The narrative we have just heard tells us about the wise men, the kings, the magi, and their gifts. Three gifts, which has led the world to believe that there were three kings. We really don't know how many kings they were. If it's one per gift, what happens if there were six and they shared the gifts? Because these are rare gifts and expensive gifts. Is it a pool of people that have put all their money together and try and got good gifts for the newborn king? We don't know. And you know what? It doesn't matter. That is absolutely secondary and irrelevant to the story. For many years, I wondered, what happened to those three gifts? Where did they go? Because this is the last we ever hear of them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, that's a good pot to start your own business sometime later on. But the next thing you read in the gospel is, instead of setting up business, the Holy Family flees to save their life to Egypt. There's something that doesn't make much sense here. But wait. Because these gifts aren't the central part of the story. The heart of the narrative is the action of paying him homage. We will read that three times in 12 verses. We have followed the star, we want to pay him homage. They do that at the end, and in the middle we hear of it as well. Twice the word is said in sincerity, and once it's a blatant, pathetic lie. In a way, the Bible is warning us how words can be used not to say what they want to say. The narrative shows how strangers are opening and closing our story. God in the child, the breached boundaries of traditional faith are there for us to see. The prostration, I haven't heard that word for ages. Do you know what it means? Yes. Fall flat on your face like the choir in the book of Revelation. Poof! Onto your face to sing, to pay homage. You prostrate. It's the action of self-giving, showing up the very different intentions of Herod. He couldn't care less about that. He has heard the word a king born, and he is frightened to death. Because if a king is born, what is his place in all this? This is made very clear when the Magi don't return via Herod to go home. So what does he do? He doesn't prostrate. He orders the massacre of every child under the age of two. Oh, really wanting to pay homage to the newborn king. Just in case, let's murder all kids. And if we're lucky, the king I was going to pay homage to is murdered within this. Herod's rule is based on violence, on death, on hatred, on fear, not of prostration, not of self-giving. And you don't have to look very hard and very far in the world today to see Herods still around. Yesterday's news, 2 people hung in Iran for defending the rights of women. The persecution of women in Iran that we have prayed about. Why have we started lighting the, nearly a year ago, the peace candle? The Herods of this world are still alive and kicking. The Magi reach the place of the baby, guided by a star, light in the midst of darkness. And they do the greatest thing. And follow this. The order is important. They kneel before the child. They prostrate. They give of themselves. Only then do they present the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The 3 gifts are not the central part of the story. The self-giving is the central part of this story. That's probably why the gifts are not mentioned ever again. Because the order in which they do things is what we should grab hold of and learn at this time this year. Do you see, gifts are used as instruments of outshining each other. When one head of state visits another, they bear gifts. In the greatest of halls, on the most luxurious of land and whatever the gift is, all they want to do is make sure that my gift is bigger than your gift. The people will speak about my gift, not about yours. Yes, we're exchanging pleasantries and we all respect each other, but my gift is better than your gift. It's never an act of humiliation, of self-giving. It is an act of self-promotion. And we, the followers of the Christ, are called to be different. Our call is to worship, to pay homage, and only then offer the gifts. But very few of us, if any of us, can bear gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Our gifts are different. And this morning, we will celebrate God's gift to us through Jesus, the bread and the cup. Nothing more humble, nothing more simple, nothing more accessible, nothing more life-changing. It is the self-giving, the prostration that makes the Magi who they are. And it is because of that they have to go back home through a different road. It is that self-giving that leads Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus and have to flee to Egypt because their life is in danger because Herod sees them as a threat. The challenge we see, the challenge we face, the challenge that's put before us is to see the Magi's 4th gift, which happens to be the 1st gift. Self-giving. Prostration. And suddenly, gold, frankincense, and myrrh are not the central part of the story. Without our self-giving, without our recognizing that the Christ, the newborn baby, is the King, nothing makes much sense after that. If we think that gold, frankincense, and myrrh will fill the gap, it's going to be a very sad life. It's the self-giving. So the question, please think about in the days to come, how can we self-give to the Christ? How can we be that 4th gift that suddenly becomes the 1st and most important of all? Because once we have this in our mind and it is clear, life will be very different. Thanks be to God. Amen. From Sing Praise, It's hymn 29. Wise men, they came to look for wisdom, finding one wiser than they knew. We share prayers of intercession, which we will end with the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. Gracious God, your will is made clear, an epiphany in Jesus Christ. Your love extends to the ends of the earth. It stretches beyond our wildest imagination. We thank you for an expansive love and for the rich variety of ways you make yourself known among us. Today, as we gather for worship, together with the partnership of churches and the churches everywhere, we pray for the church. Sadly, the church has too often been afraid of diversity, the diversity that you designed. Too often timid in proclaiming the gospel, the good news, before rulers and powers of this world. Because very often in fear, they resort to violence. Strengthen us, we pray, O Lord, so that we may give witness of your love. Fill us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be bold and confident through faith in Christ. It will be only through you that divisions within the churches will be healed, so that we can live as true members of the same body. Cast out jealousies and suspicions until we become sharers in the gospel promise. We pray, O Lord, for people in positions of power in our country and throughout the world, that they may govern with justice and compassion. Give to all who control economic and military might wisdom to choose the common good over personal or political gain. We pray, O Lord, for all those people in the world who have little power according to how the world sees power. We turn to you and ask that through you, all your people may defend the cause of the poor, deliver those in need, put an end to oppression, save the lives of everyone in harm's way this day. May the victims of violence find their lives redeemed by your love and care. We pray for the people who are seeking you this day, for those seeking a new meaning and purpose in their lives. Guide them and direct them in this journey. Give them the vision to see the signs of your promise, the wisdom to discern between what is false and what is true, and the courage and the curiosity in all their searching. May the joy of Christ surprise them and us, lead them and us to a place of welcome. We pray for those we know and love, and at this time in this service, O Lord, we put before you their names in the silence that follows. Dear God, we pray for those overwhelmed by personal darkness today, for those bowed down in grief, those overcome by depression, those who are unemployed or in economic trouble, those who are struggling with illness or the need of recovery, for those who are estranged from one another, and for all those going through stressful transitions. Send the light and peace of your presence, O God. Send us that we may bear the light of Christ and so bring companionship and hope by your grace. Accept these, our prayers, and the prayers of all your people everywhere. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, and we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As a response to our prayers of intercession, we now share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. thank you for what we receive. We thank you that we can share. And we pray that the blessing of your love be upon the offering that is in the plate and the offerings that we give through our time, our talents, and our abilities and our life. That all given to you may transform the world. Give us wisdom and humility. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. We prepare for communion, singing hymn 214 from Sing Praise, bread is blessed and broken, wine is blessed and poured. Take this and remember Christ the Lord. The table is unveiled, and what we find below that that seemed to be hiding it is something so simple. It's a piece of bread and a sip from the cup, and that changed history. As in the reading of today, the Magi who travelled unsecure where they were going. Joseph, Mary, and the baby having to leave and become immigrants, hoping they would be welcomed, that somebody would open their arms to them. For a few years it happened. On the Christmas day, it was the simple shepherds. It is that simplicity that God uses to make a difference. This table is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to no church, to no person in particular. Jesus invites please feel welcomed to participate, to take from the bread and take from the cup. We will receive, we will hold, so that we can all eat together and then we can all drink together. And in the same Gospel of Matthew, we read in chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink from this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The bread, the cup, and let us give thanks for what you give us, for what we recognize and sometimes for what we overlook. For the invitation to discover that we are together, that we are your children. So that when we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we may proclaim your love, your self-giving, inviting us to follow in that way. Nurture us, O Lord, and your people in the world, so that your will may be done. Amen. He took the bread and he broke it. And he shared with the disciples. The broken bread, the broken body, and in this brokenness we are made whole. Eat in memory of him. And when they had eaten, the cup was shared. The new covenant, the new relationship, the new hope for God's creation. And they shared and they drank together. Something new, something different, something well known. The cup of the new covenant. Let us drink from it in memory of him. What seemed like the end in your eyes was opening the door to something new. When the world thought they'd got rid of a pest, the new understanding of life began. And today, for us, and with your people everywhere, nurtured by your grace and your love, help us to live the values of that new life. To us, your blessing. To you, the glory. Amen. And our final hymn this morning from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 192. We will omit verse 3. 192, omitting verse 3. The song of the angels is stilled. Now the star in the sky is gone. Now the kings and the princes are home. Now the shepherds are back with their flock. Now the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner. To rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, and to make music in the heart. So go now and attend to the work of Christmas. The blessing of God Almighty, eternal majesty, incarnate word, and abiding spirit, be with you and all God's people everywhere, this day and always. Amen.